And a bright good morning to everyone. Welcome here. It's such a beautiful day here in British Columbia. Really enjoyed this. And this is the journey. Life is a journey, but what is the destiny? Now, where are we going? That's really the question. There's a destiny, but where are we going and what are we going to do when we get there? I want to tell you that no animal can do the following, because there is power in what we see in our mind. Yes, in the mind's eye. Our human beings have the ability to create something in our mind, which is very unique, and in many cases it can be manifested, but no animal can do it. That is a distinction between humanity and animals. Okay, God had a beautiful set in his mind when he created this beautiful earth of ours. And then one day a famous sand sculptor was asked, how can you take moist sand and make such a beautiful mansion out of that? Yes, a beautiful mansion out of sand. And he replied, I see in my mind's eye the end product and I scrape away everything that stops me from seeing the end product in my mind. That is really beautiful. So it was his manifestation of the mansion in his mind. But we all know that this is temporary. Yes, that's a temporary thing, that castle there. Now, what did the Creator God see when he created human beings? What did he really have in his mind? Let's go to 1 John. Now remember, John was the person closest to Jesus when he walked the earth. And look what he writes here. My dear friends, we are now God's children, but it is not yet clear what we shall become. You see that? We're not clear. So not even John knew exactly what we will become. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he really is. Now that's exciting to me. And our previous small group of Bible study that we had here in British Columbia, we covered four sort of topics. And the one was the origin, the meaning of life, the morality, and the destiny. And we really discussed the destiny, which was beautiful. But what will we be doing when we get to that destiny? Let's go and see what Paul wrote to the Philippians 3:14. Look what he says. So I run straight towards the goal in order to win the prize, which is God's call through Christ Jesus to the life above. Read that again. Towards the goal to the life above. That's what Paul wrote. But where is this goal? Paul says there's a goal. Paul doesn't tell us. Does the Bible really tell us what each one of us will be doing when we get to that destiny? Now let's imagine that we built a little castle. And we get the kids and they get all excited. It's fun, it's exciting, it's beautiful artwork and everybody is enjoying themselves. People walk by and they look at this beautiful sandcastle and it feels so good. But that gets washed away. It's temporary. A week later we come back and we do it again. And you know what? Satan uses the same strategy to tell so many people life is just temporary. Yes, it's just temporary. There's nothing after this. Yet, we go back as human beings and we go and build another sandcastle next week. So life is just a dream. It's like a sandcastle. We build it, we make it beautiful, and then it disappears. So it's not permanent. The waves will come and wash it away and again wash it away. And we go back and we do it more. And then we just have memories, a beautiful castle, those two kids looking at it. But in a week's time, it will just be a memory. I want to go back to Genesis. Genesis, it says that God spoke the heavens and the earth into existence. He spoke it into existence. Yes, he spoke it into existence. Now look at that from a distance. That's the way that God sees the world in a distance. Beautiful, green, blue, everything that is in there. And it's not permanent, because in Revelation we read that all this will be burned up. So was this God's sandcastle? Let's go and look at it deeper. What did God see in his mind when he took the dust of that earth that he spoke into existence and he created human beings? What did he really see? What was the reason? He spoke it into existence, but he created human beings with his hand. So what's the reason? I came across this, Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs 18:21. Yes, we must worship God and him alone. That was the reason why we are here. But look at Proverbs 18:21. What you say can preserve life or destroy it. So you must accept the consequences of your words. What you say can preserve life. So what we speak is very important in our lives. But the question is, is your spoken words really the final destination where you're going to be? Do you know what you're going to be doing when we get to that final destination? What do you see in your mind's eye when you think or speak about that final destination? What did Jesus see when about his final destination? Does the Bible tell us? Let's go to Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews 12:2 tells us very clear. Let us look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. I want you to look at those words and put it in your mind. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that was set before him. So he knew where he was going. That's why it was a joyous time for him to go through all this, despising the shame. On the cross, he saw the joy before him. Why are we then today enduring the hardships of this physical life right now? Is it worth it? All the trouble, all this to continue during this life without knowing where we will be going. We say we'll go to heaven, but exactly what we'll be doing when we get to our final destination? Are you going to see Adam and Eve? Are you going to talk to Moses? Are you going to talk to Bathsheba? Are you going to talk to Paul? Are you going to recognize your family and your friends on earth? How about riding on a cloud nine? Yes, how about riding on a cloud nine? How about polishing the floors and the pillars of the temple? That's another thing that we can do. How about doing absolutely nothing, zero, other than to take our little cell phone and we text one another? Is that what we will be doing when we get there? Ever thought about it? What a journey. Is there some kind of plan or goal where we'll be, can use our spiritual gifts? All of us, according to the Bible, the Christians was given a spiritual gift while we were walking on this earth. How about flying from east to west and tell the angels, show me how fast we can fly from the east to the west, from one place to another through the sky? What about choices? Will we have choices when we get to our final destination? Or will it be just building sandcastles? Sandcastles on the beach, thinking back of the days when we had such fun on the earth, but totally bored. Is that really our final destination? Now, I know there are many books written about heaven, but what does the Word of God say about what we will be doing when we get there? Are you ready for this? I want you to list the things that I'm going to mention, because I'm going to ask you to repeat something after me. Let's first discuss what we will not be doing. No, we will not ever sin again. We will not do anything wrong again. We will never have to ask for forgiveness to the neighbor, to the spouse, to the children. Never have to ask for forgiveness. Never mistrust anybody. Never we will have to deal with Satan's demons. Never again. Isn't that exciting? Never. What the joy that was set before us. Remember those words of Jesus. The joy that was set before him. Now if we look at this, we will never be lonely, never be hurt, never be financially stressed, never have physical pain, never grief, never experience family death, never cry, never be sad, ever look into the mirror and say, wow, I better do something about this face of mine. Never. We will never get tired, because you can't get tired and say, today I'm going to sleep in because I'm so tired. No. We will never see poor people. Hallelujah. We will never see poor people or needy people at all. We will never be scared of dying. Is that something to think about for the joy that was set before us if you think about these things? Now to sum it up, we will be in perfect spiritual body in an unending love and joy experience forever in the presence of God together with Jesus Christ and all God's people. We will have an intimate relationship with our Savior Jesus Christ and a perfect goal and vision the same as what he had. If we take these things in account, what I've just mentioned, what we will not be doing in our final destination. I can give you 10,000 reasons of what we will not be doing, but it still doesn't tell us what we will be doing. And I would like you to repeat after me. Look at the person next to you. And if there is no person, shout it out the window to the friend or the neighbor. For the joy that was set before me. Think about it. Think about those things that we will never have to deal with ever in our lives again. For the joy that was set before me. Say that. Say that to someone there. Say it loud. For the joy that was set before me. Powerful words. That's what we read in Hebrews 12. You can go back and read it. Hebrews 12, 2. But what will we be doing? God has not revealed in specific terms what each one of us will be doing when we get there. But there are glimpses, which I'm going to cover now. But Jesus mentioned one thing, that those who live for themselves in luxurious way in this current physical world, they have their reward already. They have their reward already. But God, I'm looking at that earth. I want to go back there. Building sandcastles. No, there's something better to do. Let's go to Matthew 6. For the joy that was set before me. Before I go there, for the joy that was set before me. Think about those things. But let's go to Matthew 6, 2. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do and the do it in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. Is that a joy that they can look forward to? They will always be looking back. But for the children of God that knows that what we will not be doing and doing things that he is expecting us, for the joy that was set before us. Jesus says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now look at King David. He was very wealthy. He ruled all of Israel for a long time. And yet, In Psalm 84:10, he says, I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than to live the good life in the homes of the wicked. A gatekeeper in the house of my God. Note, God has given each one of us a spiritual gift and is asking us to do something right now on this earth while we're in this physical form. How do I know that? Let's go to the Bible. Let's see what John wrote here in John 4:23. The time is coming. It is already here. Stop. It is already here. By the power of God's Spirit, people will worship the Father as He really is, offering Him the true worship that He wants. That's a beautiful glimpse there that we can get. God's Spirit, people will worship the Father as He really is, offering Him the true worship that He wants. Wow. For the joy that was set before me. You really know that that is what we will be doing? Isn't that thinking, that type of thinking, joyful? Yes, I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forevermore. What a sight in the future. So it's training ground. This physical world is training ground. Practice worship, unending love for other people. I will be praising with a pure heart and a pure motive, with a perfect joy, a perfect body and soul, without the intervention of Satan's intervention. No deceitfulness from Satan anymore. Never, ever. For the joy that was set before me is what the world, the God, what the Bible says. Yes, it will be a praise from a pure heart with a pure motive because of that joy that I'm looking forward to. Now, John, as I said, was very close to Jesus and he was asked to write revelations in the vision that he saw. He wrote in Revelation 14, 6-7, then I saw another angel flying high in the air with the eternal message. What? A short message? No. An internal message of good news and announced to the peoples of the earth, to every race, every tribe, every language, every nation. He said in a loud voice, honor God and praise His greatness. For the time has come for him to judge. Worship him who made heaven, earth, sea, and the springs of water. Can you see the words there? Praise his greatness. Worship him. Spiritual gifts are now to be used because that's what God has given us. God is preparing us to worship him. Practicing worshiping now, the angels proclaim, it's an eternal gospel. Give glory to him and worship him. Here's another glimpse. Let's look at this one as what's happening in heaven. Let's go to Revelation 4:10. The 24 elders fall down before the one who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. 24 elders, worship him, worshiping God. Yes, worshiping God. Here are the 24 elders, worshiping our God. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And the angel says to John, John, you better write fast because I've got so much more to tell you. So John is writing another one, Revelation 7:9. Then I looked and there was only a few people. No. An enormous crowd. No one could count all the people. They were from every race, tribe, nation, and language. They stood in front of the throne of the Lamb, dressed in white robes, and were holding palm branches in their hands. Yes, holding palm branches in their hands. There it is. That's the way that I see in my mind the worshiping of the God with a pure heart and with a contrite spirit. Yes. Let's have a look further in Revelation. I don't have a slide for this other than to say, John, you better write this down. You can find that in Revelation 14:13. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. They finished now earth, they now going to rest. But look at that last few words there. That they may rest from their labors, for their deeds will follow them. Now we so quickly to skip over those words. For their deeds will follow them. John, I want you to write more, says the angel. Write quickly. I've got a lot to say. Let's go to Revelation 19, 6 to 8. Then I heard something that sounded like a small crowd. No, a large crowd of people. It was as loud as crashing waves or thunder. The people were saying, Hallelujah, our Lord God rules. He is the all-powerful. Let us rejoice and be happy and give God glory. Give God glory because the wedding of the Lamb has come. And the Lamb's bride, who are they? That's the people standing before the throne. He has made herself ready. Fine linen was given to the bride for her to wear. Now, what does that fine linen mean? I looked it up and some Bible translation says that fine linen is the righteous deeds of God's people. The righteous deeds of God's people. And then I think of myself. Am I one of those standing there with white robe? And it's so easy then to think, the joy that was set before me. Christ comes and he puts that white robe on me and you as an individual. Well done. Well done, my good servant. Put on this white. As Peter said, Lord, you cannot wash my feet. And when Jesus says, I don't wash your feet, you're not part of me. And he said, wash my head. I want everything to be cleaned. I want that white robe to be worn. Yes, we will be worshiping and praising all the time. So we might as well practice praise and worship right now in this physical life because we will be spending eternity doing it. Practice worshiping now. We will experience the total splendor of God, the Almighty. We will spend eternity what we want to do best. And that is to be in the presence of God, worship Him because He is worthy of praise. Worshiping is to take the focus off ourselves and direct it entirely up to God. True worshiping. That's a valuable praise. What was God's intention when He created the human beings in the beginning? Did He spell it out in the beginning? Yes, let's go to Deuteronomy 6:5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Now, isn't love worshiping? Isn't love praising? Right in the beginning of the Bible that you and me read and believe in, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. We will adore God forever individually and collectively, with songs of praise, joining in chorus with the angels. It will be in our minds, it will be in our hearts, and it will be in our spoken word. that I mentioned in the beginning, the spoken word, it will be there from a pure heart. We will worship with Jesus. And then it says we will also reign for 1,000 years, helping and bringing other people to Christ. That's a joyous occasion to look forward to, for the joy that was set before you and me. You can read that in Revelation 24. We have duties regarding the ongoing operation of the eternal stay, wherever that might be. No, we will not look down on the earth and build sandcastles. God has given each one of us spiritual gifts. This gift is to be used to serve one another, while we are on this earth, within the church, and in the world at large. With this spiritual gift, God has given us the responsibility in this life to inspire, to uplift, to encourage, and to correct one another, our neighbor, our spouse, our children, the poor and the needy. That's what God wants us to do. Yes, go out and help. Be a volunteer. Give to the poor. That's what Jesus wants. Now, I know I myself are under great pressure, knowing that I cannot and do not live up to the expectations that Christ is expecting from me. From me as a husband, from me as a neighbor, from me as a father, from me as a church member. No, I cannot. But thanks be to God that He is working in each one of our lives to bring us closer and closer to Jesus and have a deeper relationship with Him. For the joy that was set before us, He is busy shaping this bodily temple into a mansion. That can be joyful to think about it. We've been called by God. He brought us under His wings and is inviting each one of us to study and meditate on His word, the spoken word. There it is again, the spoken word. We have to grow in the Spirit and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. This should give us that great joy and encouragement as we get inspired and empowered by the Holy Spirit to walk with Jesus, to talk with Jesus, and to listen to what the Spirit says. The same as what John did. He listened to what the Spirit says. He wrote it down so that we can enjoy it and say, for the joy that was set before us. Yes, not just building temporary castles for others to see, but to experience God's love forever and ever. When Christ returns, our deeds will be tested. Not our useless and selfish deeds. That will burn up. But that remains will last forever. Worshipping, praising, serving, helping. Now this shapes the crowns that we will be casting at His feet. Yes, that will shape the crowns that we will present to Him. What a joy. If we love the Lord, then it matters how fervently we will serve Him and others. It will demonstrate our love for Him. To practice that spiritual gift that He has given us, that God has poured out in your life and my life, that we call, I'm a Christian today. But we so many times say, but Lord, I have so many challenges in this life. I cannot handle it. Then I want you to repeat these words again. Not just for the joy that was set before me. Lord, what do you want me to learn from this challenge? To serve and worship you better. Yet not my will, but your will be done. Look at that again. Lord, what do you want me to learn from this challenge to serve and worship you better? This is putting God's love on display in our lives. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. This one really hits hard if you understand it. 2 Corinthians 3:18. All of us, not some of us, all of us then reflect the glory of the Lord with uncovered faces, that the same glory coming from the Lord, who is the Spirit, transforms us into his likeness in an ever greater glory. In an ever greater glory. The joy that was set before us. Let that sink in. Transforms us into his likeness in an ever greater degree of glory. How overwhelming is it to meditate on these things? Eternal destiny. What is our destiny? Did you catch something there that you can think of that we have to do currently in our life today? Especially in this dark world that has lost its way. Especially here with the coronavirus that's rampant. People are fearful. Yes. The better we understand our origin, our destiny, this journey that we're going through on earth, the more we will love and tell others about the love of God, and they will come to Christ and say, tell me more. Let us rejoice and encourage one another to strengthen our relationship together in Christ Jesus. Remember the words? For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured, and he's asking us to endure as well, regardless of the challenges. Christianity is a journey. Yes, it's a journey in this physical life. It's training ground. Our destination is to be with him forever and ever. Let us move beyond this temporary, earthly, temporary castle and never worry about it again. And enter into what Jesus was saying. I'm going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Not temporary castles, but for the joy that was set before you and me. Now, beautiful. Think about those words. Repeat them over and over as you go through this day, this week, this year. For the joy that was set before us. Thank you and amen. Let's pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we humble our hearts and a contrite spirit, and we bow our heads before the throne of grace to come and worship you. You are worthy to be worshipped, and we thank you for the freedom that we have in Christ to bow before you. We are very grateful. Father, the world is in a grip of fear, but your people are rejoicing because you have put something before us. And we can see that final destiny, and that destiny is awesome to think about it. Yes, it's awesome because we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he really is. You will change this earthly body into a glorious, glorious spiritual body and worship you forever and ever. We are rejoicing about this, loving Father. Yes, we are rejoicing for what you set before us. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done on the cross for us. Our citizenship is kept safe in heaven. That's the joy we're looking forward to, God. Holy Spirit, we want to come still and listen to what you're guiding us. Not to turn to the left or to the right, but to follow Jesus, regardless of our challenges. Thank you for the spoken word, God. Thank you. that was kept for us from the beginning of creation, and it is more relevant today than ever before. We ask for your blessing on each and every one of your people around the world. Keep us safe and keep us focused with our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask these things, not because we deserve it, but because you called us out of this world in the name of your beloved Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. In his name we pray it. Amen.